Well, I'm so excited to jump into week three of our series, Whisper. And today I want to title the teaching, Six Languages. And, you know, we've been talking about how God speaks to us and how we lean in to hear God's whispers. Today we want to talk about some of the ways in which he does speak to us. Before we get into that, the six languages, I want to just give you a refresher on what we've been talking about for these last few weeks. We have been basing out of 1 Kings 19. Where there's a prophet named Elijah, and he's actually having a really rough time. And I know that a lot of us can relate with that. Some of us have just a tough time going on in our life right now. And he's actually really seeking God. And it says that he goes out, he's seeking the Lord, and it says that there's an earthquake, and there's a fire, and there's a wind, but God is not in any of that. There's all these dramatic things happening, but God's not in any of those. Then it says there that after all of those things comes a still small voice, or certain translations call it a whisper. A still small voice. And the question is, why does God come in a whisper? And we've been talking about this because when someone whispers, you have to lean in close to hear them. And we know that prayer is not about getting stuff, it's about actually getting God. And that when he whispers, we lean into him to be close to him, to be near to him, to be intimate with him. And that in the process of prayer, in the process of his whispers, and in the process of us hearing that, we increase intimacy with God, our Father, who loves us so much. And so that's what we've been talking about. And today, as I said, I want to jump into some of these languages that God uses to speak to us. Because as we talk about this, this is not just a theological concept. These are actually the mediums by which God speaks to our hearts and our minds and actually directs us and leads us and guides us. And so we want to look at this today. Again, not just a theological idea, but actually how we relate with God. So a lot of this is based out of a book by one of the mentors for us named Pastor Mark Batterson out of Washington, D.C. He wrote a book called Whisper. You can check that out as well. But today we want to talk about the six languages. Now, there's a lot more languages than this, but I just wanted to touch on six of them today. And let's go ahead and jump right into it. If you are a note taker, you can get your notes ready. And the first language that God uses to speak to us is Scripture. Now, this may be obvious to some of us. For some of us, it might not be. But do you know, the Bible is not just a book. It's not even just a compilation of books. The Bible, we believe as Christians, the Bible is actually God, the creator of the universe, the one that made you and made your lungs and gave you the breath in your lungs, makes your heart beat every day, that God actually through human pens, through human hands, actually authored a book called the Bible. And that for over for 2,000 years and then more as you go back into the Old Testament, that he has been supernaturally ensuring the transmission of that text through the translations to us. So as we read the scripture, we're not actually reading a book. We're actually reading a letter from God to us. And so when we understand about how God is talking and whispering to us, the first thing we need to know, the first language, and I will call it the primary language, is actually scripture. Scripture is, as I said, the primary language. It's more important than all the other languages combined. Scripture is kind of, if you will, it's the Rosetta Stone. You say, I don't know what that is. Some of us may not. Rosetta Stone was something that was discovered in 1799. It was a stone that they found in Memphis, Egypt. And it actually was a stone they discovered. It had three languages on it. And those three languages were significant because the first two were Egyptian languages. And one of them was hieroglyphics. And then one of them at the bottom language, the third language, was actually Greek. And why this was really important is that up until the point of finding the Rosetta Stone, we actually could not translate the hieroglyphic language. It was just symbols. And we didn't know how to read it. But what we found with the Rosetta Stone in 1799, with that discovery, is we had Egyptian, which we could read, and we had Greek, which we could read. And so we could translate between that and figure out what hieroglyphics meant. And what that meant is that we unlocked an entire history of hieroglyphic language that we were previously unable to tap into. Now, what's interesting about the Rosetta Stone is that it became the filter or the doorway or the gateway by which we understood the rest of that language. And the scripture for us in our communication with God is the Rosetta Stone. The scripture, God's word to us, is the filter by which we run through all of the other languages. The Bible, the scripture, is the primary language, the fundamental language, and is the language by which we test and filter all the other languages. It's like the Rosetta Stone. And what's beautiful about the Bible is that we don't just interpret it like the Rosetta Stone. It's like it interprets itself. It tells us about itself. Scripture interprets Scripture. The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept, as we read the Bible, we actually begin to build kind of the word that I would use is synergistically. As we read the Bible, we start to understand God's whispers better. It's synergistic. As we understand a certain part of the Bible, it begins to help us unlock another part of the Bible. And as we understand that part of the Bible, it helps us unlock another part of the Bible. And those three parts of the Bible together help us unlock and filter some of the other languages that we're going to talk about. Now, what's really important about this word synergistic is to understand what it means. So I'm going to define it for us. Synergistic. It is the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or other agents, and then check this out, to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of the separate effects. You go, what does that mean? That's a big definition. What it means is this. It means that as you get into something synergistically, that multiple parts come together and create something greater than just the summation of the individual parts. Let me try to give you an example about what I'm talking about. When you were young, you learned the English alphabet. Okay. When you learned the alphabet in probably preschool, kindergarten, you learned A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, O, P, Q, R, S, U. You get it, right? You learned the letters. Now, what's interesting is that as you learn letters, you actually start to understand how to write words. You take a few letters, you start to learn the sounds, and you start to put those together into words. So learning letters actually synergistically leads to the ability to create and write words. Once you write words, you actually can synergistically begin to take different words that you learn and put them together into written sentences. Those sentences, as you start to put sentences together, start to form concepts. And as you move from kindergarten through elementary school into middle school and high school and into, for many of us, into college, what we realize is that learning the alphabet actually was the beginning of us starting to put concepts, complex concepts and thoughts together, especially in written form. So why the analogy? Here's the analogy. You start with letters, but that sets the stage for living in the concepts. And this is synergistic because you could say, well, how do I hear from God? I don't understand what God's voice sounds like. I don't think God speaks to me. And we could be over in the concept realm and we're like, I don't understand what God's doing. I don't understand how he speaks. I can't write this stuff using the analogy, right? I can't write this stuff down. We have to go back and we have to start learning the letters. And then we learn the words, and then we learn the sentences, and then we learn the concepts. And the scripture is like that. We begin to read the scripture. I know a lot of people say, I really don't understand the scripture. We have to read it more. We have to get into the scripture. We have to let it interpret itself. We have to start learning. We have to start understanding, and we have to start with letters. We have to start the basics, and then the basics lead to words, and then the words lead to sentences, and sentences lead to concepts, and concepts lead to living. I think you get the point. But learning the letters is important. And learning the scripture is so important, you guys. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says this. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Here's another one. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active. Living and active. God's word's alive. It's moving. It's alive and active. It's not just a written text on a page. It's actually the Spirit of God speaking through the written text on the page because he authored it. For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. We're not just reading the Bible. The Bible's reading us. And this is so important. Again, we're learning to hear God's voice. We have to learn the Bible. It's the Rosetta Stone. It's the primary language. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you want to understand how God speaks, if you want to hear God's whispers, if you want to have a stronger prayer life, if you want to be led by the Spirit of God, you have to get into God's word. You have to understand the scripture. You have to begin to read. And even if it's letters at first, letters to words, to sentences, to concepts, we have to get into God's word. You know, at age 22, I was praying actually about relating to God. And I was asking him some things. And I was like, God, I really need you to speak to me. And I don't really understand how I'm supposed to find you in prayer. And I was kind of wrestling. And I was actually laying on my face in the back of a church. And God, I had been reading the scripture and I had my Bible open, and God directed me to a portion of the scripture. And it's actually found in Matthew 12, Mark 3, and Luke 6. You can go read those on your own time, but it's a story out of the Gospels about a man with a withered hand. And the man with a withered hand, it says, the Bible says he has one withered hand and he has one good hand or strong hand. And it says that he actually is asked by Jesus to stand up in the middle of the synagogue. And actually, Jesus says this to the man, stretch forward your hand. And as I'm reading the scripture, I was reading it and I felt and sensed the Holy Spirit speak to my heart and said, Jesus didn't tell him which hand to stretch forward. And as I was reading the scripture, I felt the Holy Spirit prompt my heart and say the man had a choice whether to offer his brokenness or his strength to Jesus. And if he would have offered the healed hand to Jesus, I don't know if Jesus would have healed the other hand, because Jesus didn't say, stretch forward your withered hand. He said, stretch forth your hand. And the man had a decision to make. Do I go to God with my vulnerability and my weakness, or do I go to God with my strength and my ability? And in that moment, God spoke to me, not audibly, but through his word, that the way that I was to approach him was through my vulnerability and through my authenticity with him. And that he wasn't looking for me to come and present all my strength to him. That he was looking for me to come and to speak to him and to talk to him and to hear his whispers in the areas of my life that were vulnerable and that were broken. And that fundamentally changed how I approached God at that moment. But it happened through reading his word. And you know, this is really important, you guys, is reading and understanding the word of God. That's the first language. Now, I spent the most time on that one because it's the primary language. It's the most important language. It's the Rosetta Stone. It is the language by which we interpret and filter all the other languages that we're going to talk about today. All right. You guys ready for the rest of the other five? Okay, here we go. So number two, as you're taking notes, the second language that God can speak, and again, God can speak in lots of other languages besides these six, but these are the ones I'm highlighting today for us. I think these are some of the main ones. Number two is this. If number one is scripture, number two is dreams. Okay, God speaks through dreams. Now, I also do believe, and I don't know if I'm right about this, but I do believe that sometimes dreams are non-spiritual. I do think sometimes dreams can be the pizza you ate the night before, but I believe that a lot of times God works through our dreams. And again, we have to interpret and say, how do I interpret? Well, often you interpret through scripture. We can talk about that, but dreams, okay? Acts 2:17, it says this. It says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. We have dreams, we have visions, we have prophecy. And here's the thing, you guys, God speaks through dreams. And I would rather have one God idea in a dream than 1,000 good ideas on my own. Now, there's daydreams. The Bible tells us there in the book of Acts that people will see visions, that they'll see things in the daytime. And then also that we'll actually dream at night, that we'll actually have dreams while we're sleeping. And this is really important as we have visions and as we have dreams. I want to give this little filter real quick. It's been helpful for me. I hope it'll be helpful for you. But I just want to give you three words. How do we interpret dreams? And we can use this in a lot of things. Prophecy, which we'll talk about later. But three things. There's revelation. Okay, the first thing is revelation. That's I actually get the dream. I actually have kind of a daydream. I actually have in my mind a dream. Or at night, I actually have a dream, like an actual dream while I'm sleeping. That's what we'll call revelation, where God is potentially showing us something, okay? And then we have interpretation. Interpretation is when we take a revelation and we bring it in and we say, what does that actually mean? Because sometimes, and you can see in the Bible, people will have dreams, but they don't understand what the dreams mean. So we have revelation where the dream is actually given, and then we have interpretation where we're interpreting the dream. And then the third piece is application. So God, you showed me this. How do I interpret that? And then what do I do with it? So that's a little three-step process that I found to be very helpful. And you know, revelation, God shows us something. Interpretation, and that's where we go back to scripture. That's where we go to people in our life, which we'll talk about that in a minute. That's one of the languages, people. We go to the people, the mentors in our life. We go to additional prayer and we interpret, and then application. What do we do with that dream? So, but here's what I need you to know. God does speak through dreams. And just recently, one of my kids was praying about something. We were actually praying about something as a family. And one of my kids actually asked God if God would give them a dream about what we were praying about. And they went to sleep, and the next morning they talked and they said, God gave me a dream last night, and shared the dream in vivid detail. It was absolutely amazing. That happened, I believe it was last week. It might have been 2 weeks ago. But I just want to tell you guys, God speaks through dreams. That's the second language. Number three, the third language that we're going to talk about today that God uses to speak to us as people. And now I alluded to this already, but God speaks through people. God used in the Bible, God used a prophet named Nathan to rebuke King David. God used an uncle named Mordecai to exhort Queen Esther. God used a spiritual father named Paul to encourage Timothy, and he used a son named Jesus to save my soul and to save your soul, because God uses people, and God speaks through people, and God works through people. You know, I was running a couple days ago. As many of you know, I'm training for the Chicago Marathon, and so I'm spending a fair amount of time running. And I was out running, I was listening to a sermon, and God just began to speak to my heart about some things in my life. But as God was speaking to me about my life, he kept bringing one of you up in my heart. And as I was running, I mean, it just kept coming. You just kept coming. You know who you are. And so actually, it was so strong, I actually stopped running, and I paused my watch, and I pulled out my phone, and I sent an audio message, because I was like, hey, you were really on my heart, and I shared the message. I sensed God was speaking to me from my life, but I actually felt like it was also really for their life, and I shared that with them, and later, they actually texted me back, and They said, thank you so much. That was a word for me. And then they said, I'm writing it in my journal, and on and on and on. And there were some specific things there that I won't go into, but here's what I want you to know. God speaks through people. Now I have to believe and hope that that actually was the Lord speaking through me, but I know this 100%. There has been times when God has used other people to speak into my life. So whether that moment was him, I think it was, but I know that God has used other people, many of you, to speak into my life. And really, when you think about the word prophecy, actually, if I could give it a working definition, is simply using my voice to speak what's on God's heart. So, you know, we can speak on behalf of God, and prophecy literally is us, is speaking on behalf of God, speaking God's word, speaking God's heart. That's prophecy. Now, there's different types of prophecy in the Bible. We could get more specific about that, and we could get specific about a lot of that, but really at its fundamental core essence, prophecy is speaking on behalf of God. In Numbers 11:29, it says this, I wish all of the Lord's people were prophets. I wish all of the Lord's people were prophets. And so what does that mean? Here's what it means. God wants to use you. God wants to speak through you. God wants to use you. And here's what else it means. God wants to use other people to speak to you. Now, I've had people come up to me and they've shared prophetic words, and, you know, I've had to go back, right? There's revelation, there's interpretation, and then there's application. And I've had things that people have shared with me, and I heard them and I was like, yeah, I don't know if that's really the Lord. And so what I've done is I've actually taken that and kind of put it on the shelf and just kind of wait and see. And then sometimes someone has spoken something to me and it struck so deep and so true to what God was doing in my life that I knew instantaneously, that's God, that is the Lord. Again, Acts 2:17 says this, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Look at this. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. If you're just getting started in this, I have just kind of a rule of thumb for you. How about this? Start with what's in God's word. Remember, that's the number one language. Start speaking on behalf of what's in God's word. And let's avoid, at least getting started, let's avoid what they call dates, mates, and babies. So if you're speaking on behalf of God, let's move really slow when we're giving someone a date about something. We're telling someone who they should date or marry and speaking about their babies or their life in that way. So that's kind of just a rule of thumb. Let's interpret through scripture until we're very seasoned and we're very mature. But here's what I know. A lot of people have been wounded by prophecy. They've been wounded by God speaking through other people. And here's what I want you to know. That can happen. People are not perfect. They can speak on behalf of God prophetically, and it's not actually the Lord. And that's why it's our job to receive revelation and then interpret. And then how do we, revelation, interpretation, application. And here's what the Bible says for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 and 21, it says this, do not despise prophecy. Now, why would the Bible need to say that unless we were going to be tempted potentially to despise prophecy? But the Bible says, do not despise prophecy, but test everything, hold fast to what is good. So don't despise prophecy. Test it. The fourth language is prompting. The fourth language is prompting. Galatians 5:25 says this. It says, since we live by the Spirit, let us stay in step with the Spirit. And Romans 8:14 says this. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children, the sons and daughters of God. So what does that mean? What that means is that God's Spirit actually prompts us and actually leads us. That as we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, we actually learn to stay in step with God's Spirit through promptings. This, the Holy Spirit prompts us. Scripture is our map, but the Holy Spirit is our guide. And something I heard years ago that I love, it said this. It said, the river of the Spirit flows through the banks of Scripture. Now, I don't know if you're starting to sense a theme here, but all the languages that God uses, we filter through the Rosetta Stone. We filter through the language of Scripture. The river of the Spirit flows through the banks of Scripture. Years ago, I was praying and I was asking God for next steps in my life. And this was before we had planted the church, and I was actually asking him, God, I'll do whatever you want. I just need to know what that is. And he began to speak some things to me. But one of the things he began to speak was the idea of planting a church at Michigan State University. And this is years and years and years ago. And I remember I was driving during that season, and he was speaking a lot of things. He was prompting me in a lot of ways. But this was one of the most interesting kind of supernatural promptings that I've ever received from him. But I was driving, and if you're familiar with Okemos, it used to be a Christian bookstore there in the complex where the Target is and where the Kroger's is. But I was driving down Marsh, I think it was Marsh Road, might have been Grand River, and I had this sense to go to that shopping complex. And I drove there. It was a prompting. And as I drove there, I had this prompting, this sense, this on the inside to go into the Christian bookstore. So I went into the Christian bookstore. I parked, went into the Christian bookstore. And I had a sense, a prompting to walk to the back of the store, to turn to the right. And then I turned around and I looked at the bookshelf. And I had a prompting to pull out a specific book. Prompting. I don't know how to explain it to you other than this is what happened. And I pulled the book out and I opened it up. And the page that I opened it up to was almost a blank page. It had two lines on the page. And the first line said this, if not you, who? And the second line, it was number two on the line, it said, if not now, when? And I had been praying about planting a church, and that was a pretty strong prompting. Now, of course, we didn't plant a church purely off of that prompting. But that prompting was a part of a much bigger set of whispering that God was doing to us in that season. But it was a significant prompting, and it was really cool, you guys. I really sensed that God was speaking to me through that prompting. It's a sense, it's an unction, it's a peace, it's a still small voice, it's a feeling. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And one of the ways that God speaks to us is through promptings. Number five, the language that God speaks to us through, again, he can speak through lots of languages, but the fifth one we're touching on today is this, it's pain. God speaks through our pain. You know, we can ignore the Bible, but we can't ignore pain. C.S. Lewis said it like this. He said, God whispers through our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. And, you know, here's a hot take, as Kinsley McNulty would say. Here's a hot take. But I actually am thankful for pain. You say, how could you be thankful for pain? Pain is, it's searing, takes your breath away. It's terrible. And, you know, I'm not saying God is the source of all pain. We have an enemy. We have an enemy of our soul. We have an enemy that has authority in this world. But here's what I do believe. I do believe God can use any pain. And I am thankful for pain because pain reminds me and alerts me that something is off. It's one of the ways that God speaks to me. And I actually was looking this up. There's something called CIPA. I think you pronounce it CIPA. It's congenital insensitivity to pain. It impacts about 1 in 125 million people. But what it is it's when you can't feel pain in certain parts of your body. So for an example, you could actually take your hand, set it on a hot stove, and you would have no idea that you need to remove your hand because you actually can't sense pain. And here's the thing. I'm very thankful for pain. I'm very thankful for the fact that when I touch something hot, I pull my hand back. Because what that means is that I don't leave my hand in a position and in an environment where it's going to hurt me. And for many of of us, God speaks to us through our pain. When we put ourselves into situations, into environments that are going to hurt us, that are going to burn us, that are going to cause us pain, greater pain, we sense the pain. God speaks to us through pain and we pull ourselves back. And that's why I'm thankful for pain. And if you study this congenital insensitivity to pain, they said that the average patient dies by age 25 because the inability to feel pain means that we actually stay in situations that are even more damaging to us. And so I actually am thankful for pain. And what I'm learning in this season of my life is that I'm trying to create a new habit. And the habit is this. My habit is that when I experience problems and pain, I allow them to push me closer to God and more into the Father than making me push away from Him. And there have been times in my life when I sense pain and when I have problems that stress and anxiety and that fear begins to push me away from the Father. But I'm learning in this season to make it a habit, to make it a practice of my life. Then when I experience pain and problems, it actually pushes me to the Father. And I'm thankful for pain. Now, I know He's not the source of all pain, but I know He can use all pain. And God does indeed speak to us in our pain. So I want to ask you this question today. Where is your pain? Where is the place where you're experiencing that pain? And I want to ask you this question. Will you allow it to push you into the whispers of the Father instead of away from Him? And I hope today that it will. I want to remind you before we move to the sixth language and we close today, I want to remind you about pain, that God wastes nothing. And that oftentimes your greatest pain leads to your greatest platform. But I can promise you this, there is purpose in your pain. And when you push into God with your pain, He actually oftentimes, as I said, turns that pain into a platform. I have a lot of people that talk to me and they say, you're such a grace-filled leader. You know, your words are gentle, the way that you speak, the way that you care for people. And I like to tell people, I say, well, you know what that is. It's not just me being nice. It's actually the fact that I actually was deeply broken. And that God came and found me in His goodness and in His grace, and He rescued me. And as the Bible says, He pulled me out of a miry clay and He set my feet on a rock. And I'm so thankful and I'm so full of gratitude and I'm so humbled by that, that I love just sharing that with other people. And if God loved me like that and cared for me then I know He cares for other people that are struggling with sin as well. And so that marked me. But I will tell you, that was deep pain that I was in. But out of that pain, God created an amazing platform. So I want to remind you today, wherever your pain is, allow it to push you into the presence of the Father and know that God doesn't waste anything. And oftentimes our greatest pain can become our greatest platform. Our pain and your pain has a purpose. And I'll move to number six and we'll close with this, you guys, is the six languages of how God speaks to us. The sixth one today that I'm selecting out of the many more that exist is this, doors. God speaks through doors. Revelation 3, 7 and 8, it says this. It says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of Him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. Check this out. What He opens, no one can shut. And what He shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know you have little strength, yet you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. God is in the business of strategically placing us and positioning us in the right place at the right time. And yes, we have to discern those doors, but God definitely works through open doors and closed doors. Now, I believe the enemy can work through those as well. Again, remember revelation, interpretation, application, but God speaks to us oftentimes through strategic placement and open doors. I remember years ago, Pastor Eric and I, we actually went to Florida and we were being trained as marriage facilitators for this marriage ministry. And it was a Saturday night and we had the Sunday morning was free because there was the people being trained were from all over the country and they were from all over different churches. So they just basically said, hey, go to church wherever you're going to go and then we'll come back Sunday afternoon and we'll finish the training out. And so we were kind of talking about where to go to church. And I had read a book by a guy named Pastor Matt Keller. And so anyway, long and short, leaving a lot of detail out, we ended up going to Next Level Church in Fort Myers, Florida. And ended up being a supernatural connection for us. And this was it was about 12 years ago that we walked through the doors of Next Level Church for the first time. And from that time, we actually started those relationships and we actually ended up attending a conference that October. The following, I believe it was April, I actually got an email. And the email, I'm paraphrasing it, basically said this, Pastor Matt Keller is actually going to take 12 guys for a year and actually just spend time mentoring them. Would you be willing to be one of those guys? And there was a cost associated to it, but it was pretty inexpensive for that kind of coaching. And I remember thinking, is this an open door, God, that you're placing me in relationship? God, we went down to Florida. It seemed like you were just kind of lining up the blocks and putting us into this. And Pastor Eric and I prayed, and we decided we'll crawl over broken glass in order to make this happen. Long story short, again, 12 years, I got involved in that group. That group became a coaching network. It went from one group to two groups to three groups to five groups to now it's actually called the Next Level Relational Network. It's actually in five different regions in two different countries. And it actually is a network of pastoring pastors. The mission statement is pastoring ministry leaders to lead healthy and high impact churches. And what was beautiful is that God placed Pastor Eric and I at the ground floor of that entire network, which we're still a part of. Many of you guys have been down to the conference. Many of you guys are familiar with them. There are pastors, Pastor Matt and Sarah Keller. And I just wanted to remind us that God strategically places us in the right place at the right time with the right people, because God is a God of opening doors. And remember, we talked about at the beginning, we talked about synergy, how letters lead to words, to sentences, to concepts. One door leads to another. And in the kingdom, when God opens a door, sometimes it might seem like an insignificant door. But when you walk through that door, it leads you to a new room. And in that room, there's more doors. And so in the kingdom, what we want to do is we want to ask God, is that door that you're opening for me? And when he says yes, step through it. Be obedient, step through it. And I want to close with this idea, is that God can open a door, but we have to walk through it. And that doesn't mean that every sense of an open door is a door we're supposed to walk through, but God can open a door. We still have to walk through it. And I want to remind you that here at Element Church, there's a lot of doors that you can walk through. We've created doors. We don't call them doors, but they are doors. And they're doors for you to take next steps spiritually in your walk with him. And we've created these in the hopes that you'll walk through some of these doors and they will lead you to more doors and more doors and more doors. You say, Pastor God, I don't know what you mean. Well, gatherings on a Sunday morning, whether it's here online together or whether it's in person, is an open door. It's a door for you to set a habit for yourself, be involved, and it's a door for you to walk through that leads to more doors. Our gatherings, serving is an open door. E-groups are an open door. If you want to be part of an e-group, you can go to our e-groups page and you can sign up. If you want to serve, you can go to our website. You can go to the app and you can actually join the team. You can submit a team element form. You can step through those doors. Giving is an open door. Financially, partnering finances with God's kingdom is an open door. It's a place for you to trust, a place for you to actually begin to build his kingdom with the wealth that he's enabled you to have. The Old Testament says it is God who gives us the power to get wealth so that we may establish his covenant here on the earth. That's an open door. If you've never done that before, you can do that today. We'd love for you to partner with us. If for whatever reason you're like, I don't want to partner with you guys, partner with somebody who's preaching the gospel. That would be my charge to you. That is an open door. And by the way, these doors that I'm mentioning, gathering, serving, e-groups, giving, they're doors that are open right now, but we have to walk through them. 21 days of prayer is an open door. We got a week left, Monday through Friday, 7 to 8 a.m. You can go sign up online. That's an open door. Soaping, reading the Bible daily with us. That's an open door. He can open the doors, but we have to walk through the doors. And you guys, those are six of the many languages by which God can speak to us. And as we close today, I want to ask you this. I want to ask you to spend some time asking God how he's speaking to you right now. Maybe it's through the scripture. Maybe he wants to speak to you through his word. Maybe you need to take a step to discipline yourself and to create a habit of reading his word daily. It's God wants to speak to you through scripture. Maybe you need to begin to pray that God will speak to you through dreams, and you need to surround yourself with some mature people who can help you interpret those dreams. Maybe that's it. Maybe you just need to get some mentors in your life and you need to get some people who can speak and help encourage and prophetically speak what's on God's heart to you. Maybe it's people, maybe it's promptings that you just need to start being more aware and ask the Holy Spirit to help you stay in step with him on a daily basis so that you can walk with him and be led by him in a fresh way, in a fresh season. Maybe it's prophecy, maybe it's pain. Maybe right now God is just speaking or wanting to speak through an area of pain. Maybe it's praying for open doors. Whatever it is, I want to ask you as we close to listen for him in one of those six languages today. And if you're here and you've never started a relationship with God before, and you're like, I want him to lead me. I want him to guide me. I want to read the scripture. I want to know the Spirit of God. You can pray this with me right where you are. And say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay for my sin. And thank you for inviting me into your kingdom. God, right now, I confess my sin to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And God, today, I confess that you, Jesus, are my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for speaking to me. God, I want to read your word. God, I want to experience you in dreams. God, I want to surround myself with mentors that can help me interpret the revelation that you're sending to me. God, I pray that you'd prompt me through your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you'd begin to speak to me in a fresh way through my pain. And God, I pray that you would supernaturally open doors for me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with us, you can text the keyword element to 97,000, and you can actually fill out that form. And there's a box on there that said, I made a decision for Jesus today. Fill that out. Let us know. We would love to celebrate with you. And you know, if you need a Bible, let us know in the comments of that form. If you need a church, jump into this one. We love this one, but make sure you get involved in a good Bible-believing church where God's scripture and God's word is the authority of life. It is the Rosetta Stone of life. As we close this morning, let me pray over you as we go into a time of worship and we go into a time of listening for God in one of these six languages. Father, I pray right now over every one of your sons and daughters who's listening to the sound of my voice. And God, I pray over the next few moments and God, over the next few days and over the next few weeks that they would be listening to the sound of your voice, of your whispers. So God, right now, I pray whatever language is being highlighted for them right now, whatever language you're prompting them with right now, Holy Spirit, I thank you that they will lean in hard to listen to your voice through that language. Thank you for these six languages. And God, we know that there's more. We thank you for these six today. And God, I thank you for speaking to your people in this time of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys, let's worship.